Today on Beyond the Walls with Jeremy Thomas, we have a small sample of the larger lesson which is coming tomorrow. These lessons are in the Framework series. They are all about taking more detailed, intricate, and complex doctrines and building upon the framework that was established in the Basic series. The intent is to greatly expand your knowledge and appreciation of the intricacy and the beauty of God's holy word.
Now, this is going to be the first counseling session. Counseling didn't start with psychologists, Maslow, Skinner, and Freud, or any of that. Counseling started with God, and he has his own techniques, and they're not Maslowian, they're not Freudian, they're not any of that, okay? Here is where, if we are Christians, we will look to find how counseling ought to take place, okay? And isn't it interesting that counseling begins right when sin begins? Every counseling issue ultimately goes back to sin. And yet 99% of secular psychologists never bring up the problem that, you know, you might have a sin issue. And you need to deal with that, okay? So they just go to Freud or whatever, bypass the real issue. So what we want to do is see how God does get to the real issue, okay? Sin, because he knows we have a problem, and it's sin, okay? And it's our problem today, okay? So this shows how a pastor ought to counsel. This shows how the Holy Spirit works in our lives to convict us and so forth, okay? All right, so verse 9, the Lord God called to the man and he said to him, where are you? Now, does this mean that God, you know, was clueless as to the physical location of Adam? Or is this a good counseling question? This is a good counseling question. Okay. He's asking, you know, what was he trying to get Adam to do? He's asking him to come forward. Where are you? You're like, where are you relative to me? What is going on? Are you going to come forward? Will you come forward now? This is your opportunity to come forward, okay, and admit your sin. Now, it's interesting that God didn't come on the scene as the first counselor and say, you know what? You totally blew it, man. He didn't do that, okay? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he come? That's the direct approach. You know, you blew it. By the way, with David, remember when the prophet Nathan, after Bathsheba, and Nathan comes to him? Does Nathan just confront him directly and say, man, you blew it with that girl? No, he doesn't do that at all. He comes indirectly. Because Nathan's following the same strategy that God followed. An indirect approach to the person, okay? Try to allow them the opportunity to kind of come forward, okay? In verse 10, Adam responds, okay? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Now, here's a question. Was he naked when he said this? Or had he already made himself some loin covering? See, he's not even really naked, okay? Not physically, at least, okay? So what's going on here? See, Adam isn't really able to get to the issue of why he is hiding from God. He's not really able to answer the question. But in verse 11, God says, okay, fine, let's just get to the issue. Who told you that you were naked? You say you're naked, well, who told you that anyway? I mean, there was no problem back in 225. Was there a problem in 225 with nakedness? No, no problem. No problem. It's a good thing, okay? So something happened. Something dramatic has happened, and God just goes right for the jugular. I mean, he nails it right here. Okay. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Now, this is interesting. I don't know how many counseling sessions you have to go through and how much money out of your pocketbook for a counselor to get to your actual issue, but it took God two questions to get there. Okay? Two questions, he's already at the issue. Verse 12. So, the man's response. Okay. Have you eaten? Well, he says, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Okay. Now, was he willing to admit his sin? Was he just, oh yeah, voluntary? No. It's, you know, the woman you gave me, it's your fault. Look, if you hadn't even given me this woman, we wouldn't be in this predicament to begin with. You know? So, and he blames it on this woman and God too, okay? So in verse 13, God turns to the woman. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? Okay, and the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now, did she admit her sin? This is kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah, sort of. Like, she got a lot closer than the guy. She said she was deceived, right? And that's true. I mean, she said that, and that happened, okay? And she does say, I ate, so that's a partial, like, admission, okay? But she's not completely coming forward, okay? Something that the serpent head is involved in here, too. So, you can see that the buck is being passed. Did you do it? No, it's the woman. Well, there's the serpent. Okay, now we go to the serpent, okay? Nobody really wants to come out. So, verse 14, notice the order of the curses. So he's going to start cursing, putting a curse on these three beings. Verse 14, the serpent is cursed. Skip verse 15 for now, okay? Just skip that. In verse 16, the woman is cursed. In verses 17, 18, and 19, the man is cursed. So the order of the cursings is serpent, then woman, then man, okay? Now, if you look at that sequence, okay, it's the reverse of the interrogations. Where did the interrogations start with? Who did they start with back in verse 8 or 9? The man. And then he said, well, it's the woman, so we went to the woman. And then it was the serpent. So go to the serpent. Now, as far as the cursings, it reverses, right? He starts with the serpent. Then he goes to the woman. And then he goes to the man, right? So this is called inversion pattern in Hebrew literature. It's a chiasm or a literary inversion where the patterns are reversed. Now, usually in all of these, there is something stuck right in the middle. What verse did I say skip? What was it? 3:15, right? Something is very important about verse 15. Now, we're going to skip over for now and come back for it, but that is the center of attention is verse 15. As bad as all this curses are on the serpent, the woman, and the man, and everything that we're going to look at in a moment, in the midst of all these curses, there's something very, very important, okay? And that's the way the inversion pattern is designed to centralize our attention on that verse. Okay, now, so there, let's look at these curses, okay? And these curses have irony all over them, okay? There's irony in the text. If we know Genesis 2, actually, if we know Genesis 1 and we know Genesis 2, then we see a lot of irony in Genesis 3. So notice in verse 14, the curse on the serpent says, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. Now, they're all under a curse, okay? But he's cursed greater, more, right? Now, how did God originally characterize the serpent in verse 1, chapter 3, 1? More clever. Now he's more cursed. That's deliberate. That is deliberate, okay? He went from the most clever to the most cursed. Then in verse 16, okay, he turns to the woman and he says, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Okay. If you go back to Genesis 1:28, before the fall at creation, he told the man and the woman to be fruitful and multiply. Now this curse is, this pain in childbirth and child rearing is coming right against what they were originally told to do. In other words, it's going to make it more difficult. Okay, they're still going to be fruitful and multiply, but now there's going to be pain added to that. Okay. I won't go into all, there's a lot of details about what all this is referring to, but you can imagine, okay? Then the last two clauses, by the way, I would just say that this curse is on all women and not just women who have children. So that is telling us that it is also dealing with the menstrual cycle, okay? That something in the menstrual cycle is, that's a result of the fall, whereas in the pain that's associated with it was not originally there, okay? Okay. Press on. Then the last two clauses to the woman in verse 16. Yet your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Okay, compare that with Genesis 1:26. We were just in 1. Look there. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them rule over. Okay, and it goes over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that stuff. Let them rule as a team. See, originally, the two are going to rule together as a team over nature. Okay? Okay, the man was still the head, okay, in the marriage relationship, but the two had harmony. I mean, like, it worked. Like, this is a great, this is really working. Now, after the fall, it says the woman's desire, in 3:16, will be for her husband, and he will rule over her. So something's not going to work. Something is not going to be happy in the relationship, okay? Now, there's some debate over what it means that the woman will desire her husband. But this verb is used only three times in the Hebrew Bible, twice by Moses and once by Solomon. Solomon uses it in the Song of Songs for the wife's desire for her husband, her lover, okay? So some people say, well, because you've got that usage in Solomon, a wife's desire for her husband, her lover, well, that's what this is talking about here. She's going to desire her husband in that sense. But the problem with that is twofold. This word is used by Moses in chapter 4, verse 7. The only other usage. And this is talking about Cain. And it's not positive here the way that Moses uses it. He says, if you do well, God says to Cain, if you do well, Cain, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And what? It's what is for you? It's desire. Well, is that a good desire? Is sin's desire for us a good thing? This sin nature to overwhelm and dominate us, is that a good thing? No, that's a negative thing. He tells Cain, you have to master it. You have to figure out your sin nature and master it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Walls with Jeremy Thomas. If you're interested in learning about the foundational doctrines and themes of the Bible that gave rise to this series, then season one of this podcast is for you on the basics. Additional material can be found on our website at beyondthewalls-ministry.com. If you found this information useful and helpful in your spiritual walk, then please consider rating this podcast in your favorite podcast player. And until next time, we hope you're living by the fruit of the Spirit.